Okay, my name is Chris, and I'm part of the church here. And the church has been letting Gina and her and all you people come here to have meetings to help the people. I just want to, and the Bible says in the Old Testament, Hear, O Israel, there's only one God. So I'd like to open with prayer, and I'm going to hand it over to them. If you want to join me, you can join me. If not, I'm just going to say some prayer. Because I think this is what we need in our country right now, is God. Thank you. I believe that with all my heart. I think once we started getting rid of God in the public places and schools and everything, slowly everything deteriorates. And here we are at this point, and look what we're facing. We're facing a government taking over to tell us what they want us to do, and they're teaching our children to wear masks because in 5-10 years from now, when the government comes out with a mandate, our children are going to have it in their brains. They must wear and listen to the government. That's just part of it. So I'm not going to say anymore. I'd like to say a prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you do for everybody here and for all our families. I ask you to bless them with safety, keep them safe and healthy, give them wisdom to make choices for themselves and their families. And we ask you to send the Holy Spirit to be here to work inside of Mike as he speaks to these people on your behalf. And that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, great turnout. Housekeeping, little housekeeping stuff, yes. Thank you for coming on such short notice to talk about this very, very important topic. Housekeeping tips, the bathrooms, got to know where the bathrooms are. Ladies' room is right outside the door to the left. The men's room is downstairs, yes. And there is water back there if anybody wants a bottle of water. Okay, we have two people this evening that I'd like to introduce. The gentleman to my right is Constitutional Sheriff Michael Carpinelli. And we're going to be hearing a lot more from him tonight. And I also want to introduce, first and foremost, the gal who put this together. She is a true freedom fighter in every sense of the word. She's a concerned mother and wife. She's a constitutional defender. And she's an attorney. Please welcome Gina Antonelli Hensel.
Thank you, Mary. And I feel the same about you. So Mary Moore's Lounsbury, she's a noble patriot and a healthcare fighter. So thank you for all that you're doing to your spouse, defender of the Constitution. And we appreciate all these freedom fighters today. Thank you, everybody, for coming out tonight. I know you probably have better things to do on a Friday night, but this turnout was wonderful, and thank you for standing up because we're here for freedom. So thank you very much. I want to just talk quickly about St. Vladimir Church and our wonderful pastor, St. Michael Bunce. He does allow me to have all of these seminars and conferences that I try to share the truths, dispel fear, and just try to teach the people how to stand on their natural rights, which are our God-given rights from our Creator that nobody can take away from us. So we thank him very much. Quickly, he's from Poland. He recognized very early on he lived under the gun, under communism, and this is worse, and he never shut down his parishes. So. So we put this together really quick, so thank you, Sheriff, for doing this, because the urgency is real. There is a real threat. Our nation is under attack, and we're not being informed. So there's a lot of scary things that are going on, but I want everybody to leave here hopeful tonight that we will argue with the truth and with knowing your rights and knowing how to assert them and how we have an action plan to take action to take our state back and to take our nation back. So I just want to commend the sheriff's courage as well for standing up. I've been calling elected officials for the last 2 weeks and no one has called me back. So thank you very much for being here tonight. So really quick, our children are still masked like animals in cages. But worse than the masks is what's coming down the pipeline, which is the compulsory forced vaccines. and that your kids will not be able to go to school without a vaccine. That's a bill that's in the works that we really need to oppose. And another bill that's on the docket is that nurses no longer need a doctor's note in order from the doctor in order to vaccinate your kid. And in school, they'll be able to vaccinate your children without parental consent. And they're already testing the kids without that too. They're keeping all of this quiet. They're trying to adopt and pass these things through quietly without informing the people. Because again, like, I shouldn't be informing the people. We have our elected officials that work for us. They're our public servants. They should be informing us, but it's the other way around. So that's why we're here tonight. Okay, which leads us to the main reason is the unelected Governor Hochul working behind the scenes to pass a concentration camp law here in New York? And I just want to read quickly before I turn it over to the sheriff what some other brave souls are saying. So this is from Elizabeth Glass, and she was in 2020, she was a Democratic candidate for the New York State Senate in Manhattan District 27, and she reports, "For the last 6 years, there had been a bill on the books, we all know this, A416, and had it become law, this would give the government officials the authority to indefinitely detain New Yorkers without trial, without due process of law, and the detainees would be required to submit to any medical procedure that the state would deem necessary. So on December 20th of 2021, the bill was withdrawn from its sponsor, who is Nick Perry, in order to, quote, in his quotes, to deprive conspiracy theorists, he said, to use this issue for fuel to spread the fires of lies and mistruths. However, what he left out is very significant, that he neglected to mention that on December 14th, the bill was transformed into a proposed DOH regulation through what was called the State Administrative Procedure Act, or SAPA, and that if that's approved, that will carry the same weight as this law. Also proposed are mask mandates and dystopian measures for healthcare workers and for nursing homes. And the SAPA legal backdoor that would give the Department of Health limitless totalitarian power. And any bill that the New York State Senate and the Assembly does not want to vote on, like the mandates for the kids, they don't have to. These unlawful practices are consistent with the goal to end the representational government. So the question becomes, like, what do we do about it? And we will talk about an action plan after this. There's just one other thing I wanted to point out. If this passes through, and again, we are in the comment period right now. The comment period ends on Monday, February 14th. So we really have to take action and make our voices heard on this. If this slips through, this will pave the way for the COVID concentration camps here in New York. And let me just tell you really quickly a couple other things on here. This gives them the right for any suspected cases if the state or any of her agencies deem you a suspected health threat to the public, then they have the right to enforce the law enforcement, but not the sheriff. Because we know where he stands on this, but the law enforcement, they can have come into your house, remove you or your family, and take you away and detain you in any facility or camp or whatever they consider where they want to detain you for however long they want to do that. There's a couple other things, and then we'll turn it right over. So it says, so the DOH, the commissioner, decided to initiate a rules change that would incorporate all the things that Assemblyman Nick Perry had included in the bill, and that's at A416, which includes isolation, forced quarantine, testing, snitching on your neighbors, enforcement officials taking you and your family out of your house if you are suspected of having a highly contagious disease. It's not just COVID, okay? It's not just Ebola. It could be anything that they consider as a highly contagious disease that they would deem necessary, and then they can go ahead and, again, remove you, detain you, quarantine you for however long. So, completely unconstitutional. Okay, so I'm gonna turn this over to our constitutional sheriff, Mike Carpinelli.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming out tonight to listen to, you know, some very good people up here that know what they're talking about with facts, not just as they say, misinformation. You know, what a thing to teach our kids a new term, misinformation. Next time I look, a lie is a lie is a lie.
Mike?
Yes, sir.
Can I love you
sure.
to use this microphone as you're speaking
oh.
so that the folks on the other end of the live stream can hear you?
Outstanding. Yes, sir.
I'm way too loud. Let's be quiet down a little bit.
You know, first thing I want to do this is this. Let's show our children what we all did, what we continue to do. We have to teach them. Say the Pledge of Allegiance, because that's this country's here. Okay? Say the Pledge of Allegiance. The flag is over here to the left. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Born and born.
What's going to be different for me holding a microphone, because I'm not used to it.
She's on wireless, Mike.
Okay, so, as Gina first started out telling us about the bill, now, I brought a copy of it, so I want everybody to know, number one, this is true. Here's the bill, right here. You can print it off the internet. You can download it off the New York State website. It's there, okay? Now, they, like you said, yes, they did take it, and they weren't going to, you know, put it into to be able to be voted on anything up and coming in Albany. Because why? Because Queen Hope was going to try to sneak it in underneath the Department of Health laws, which is typical for Albany. We know they sneak a lot of things in under a lot of different covers. That's wrong. And they're misleading us. They're doing us an injustice in this state. I know we always hear, well, why do they keep getting elected? I'm beginning to wonder why they keep getting elected, right? Okay. So just part of this, I highlighted this. I just want to read a little bit to you, if you don't mind. So you can, have all of you heard about this and know about it?
No.
No. Okay. Some don't. Okay. It says, an act to amend the public health law in relation to the removal of cases, contacts, carriers of clinical diseases who are potentially dangerous to the public health. You hear that, right? I'll say it again. An act to amend the public health law in relation to the removal of cases. How about people? That's what it should say, right? You see how misleading it is already? Cases, okay? And then it says, contacts and carriers of communicable diseases who are potentially dangerous to the public health. I'm going to go off a little bit here. You know what that sounds like to me? A whole lot of the politicians in New York State already.
Yeah.
That's who's dangerous to public health. Okay? All right. Then you get down to the second part here. It says, upon detaining by clear and convincing evidence, oh, we've all seen the clear and convincing evidence of this virus, haven't we? Clear and convincing evidence that the health of others is or may be endangered by a case, or by a person, is what they're trying to say, contact or carrier. As suspected cases, contact or carrier of a contagious disease, that is the opinion of the governor, the opinion of the governor. Oh, come on, we trust the governor. The opinion of the governor. After consultation with the commissioner, another person that we really trust, huh? With all the so-called misinformation that we're putting out there, right? Okay. Consultation with the commissioner, they may pose an imminent and significant threat to the public health, and says, in severe morbidity or high mortality, that the governor or his or her designee, including but not limited to the commissioner or the heads of local health departments, may order the removal and detaining of such case, then they say, or person or group of persons by issuing a single order. We saw this from 1938 forward. What they did to the Jewish community in Germany. Wake up. This is what's going on. This isn't about your public health. This isn't about caring for you. And I'm glad the media's here tonight, because a lot of times they won't put it on. They won't report it. They don't want to hear it. They're not fair for the people that did that, to have that story put out and listen to. So I'm glad to be here tonight.
Thank you.
What really gets me is that this history is not being taught to our children.
That's how we're getting away with so-called laws to be made like this right here, these bills. That's how. Nobody should have the right in this country to pick up anyone who is sick or they think is sick and put them in a camp. Put them, well, you know, here's the hypocrisy of it. Did not Governor Cuomo's father tear down all the mental health facilities we had in the state of New York and not close them? What does it sound like we're doing again? We're going to open them up. You see the hypocrisy? That's why I can't stand this. Every time you hear misinformation, no, it's a lie. It's a lie. Be careful. Have your eyes wide open. Most of your politicians won't stand up. I don't know why. I don't get it. I really don't. And because I'll tell you, like you said, money, yes. But once they get a taste of that power, they don't want to give it up. What breeds the corruption? The power. Besides the money, the power. And a lot of our politicians today are sick and drunk with power. The governor, Ms. Hochul, she had the opportunity when she first came into office. We did have, I believe, 11 to 13 victims out there of alleged sexual assault. Now here's a woman that sat with Governor Cuomo for how many years? Then got the governor's seat because she was appointed, not elected, appointed to it. Because unfortunately our state senators let him resign instead of censoring him, so he can't run again, because I, like we said, I called it. What's he going to do? He's going to run for governor, or he's going to run for state attorney general. It's already out there in the news. Have you seen it? Yeah. Yeah. She had the opportunity to do the right thing. If it was in her heart to do the right thing, then why has she not pursued this case? Well, there's a lot of orders being put from a lot of places from behind. We know how big that is. Back, I'm going to get back to what we were talking about, though, with these camps. They're trying to tell you that they don't exist, that they're not out there. I want to tell you one particular place that I do know of. I'm not going to tell you the officer's name, because eventually it's going to come out. But a year and a half ago, in the town of New Paltz, that's downstate New York, okay? As a matter of fact, I used to be a police officer there. Okay. That officer was on patrol. He knows the area very well. He lives in that area. And he saw that there had been a sale of property a while back, quite a large tract of property. He decided to take a look on duty to see what's going on. He saw a lot of heavy equipment that had been taken down from that area, into that area. By the time he got to go and take a look, there was already a fenced-in perimeter. When I say fenced-in, barbed wire, Constantine wire, guard dogs, and people in so-called uniforms with no patches. Okay? Not American people. I'm not afraid to say it, because it's the fact, and I'll prove it. But we can show that later on. But with Chinese. Or we believe to say, they say Oriental people. This officer spoke with the individual at the gate, very broken English, said, sorry, to say hello, tried to speak up a conversation with him, and did a lot of deflection, the individual did. A lot of deflection, pretended he didn't know English. He must know enough English to have enough of D5 Caterpillar bulldozers coming in, some big trucks or dump trucks, a lot of soil, a lot of things going on. So as time went on, this officer went back and told his chief about it. He asked if he knew about it. Well, yeah, I heard, but I don't really know. Why do you know about it? I can tell you. This is what I saw today. This is what I talked about. I wouldn't give you his name or anything because I didn't understand what I was trying to say to him. But yet, like I said, there's a large fenced-in perimeter. I'm talking hundreds of acres, people. Hundreds of acres. Okay? Large fenced-in perimeter. A guard shack. Dogs, and people in khaki clothes, okay? So, I spoke to this officer, told me about it, and I said, that doesn't sound too right. Something's weird, I'd be asking questions while I was on patrol too. Not that you're encroaching on somebody's private property, it's your job as a police officer that something looks suspicious or out of place to protect the public. That's what you're there for, protect the public. But it wasn't but a few weeks later that officer called up and goes, you're not going to believe this. I got called in off the road about a week and a half later by the timeline, right? And if I don't correct that, I come in off the road and I see a couple of suits. My chief, and I say suits, I don't mean to be, right, that's a police term we use for the feds. Okay? We call the feds the suits. They only show up in the suits most of the time. So he gets into the room, and the chief says, hey, you want to grab a seat? And the first thing this person says is, No, not this is for me. And they all laugh. Well, it is for you, but you're not in trouble. He said, well, I'll tell you what. You tell me they are first, and then we'll talk. They identify themselves as the FBI, the ATF, and some other people. He goes, okay, what's this all about? Well, we understand you went out and spoke to some people out that big site out there. What do you know? He goes, What do you know first before I talk to you?
Amen.
Okay? So, the officer knew more than what the agencies knew, what they let the police people know. Thought that was done over, we left that alone. Now, I know the sheriff in that county. Good man. And I ran into the conference, our sheriff's conference last month. They brought in the FBI to come in and talk to us. And the FBI started out with domestic terrorism. Okay, well, domestic terrorism, they know. And who did they start talking about? The right-wing patriot groups. Okay? Well, I'm going to catch some heat for this tomorrow, and I'm not worried about it. This is why I'm here talking tonight. Okay? Because I'm not going to be one of those who's going to be shut down, put away, or hauled off. Amen. And should that happen, it'll probably be on the news. So, this individual from the FBI, the head of it, gave a spiel about everything. And then I raised my hand and I said, are you aware of a large camp in the town of New Paltz in Ulster County? And the sheriff that I know girl says, he goes, what? Just like that. I said, yeah, you didn't know there was a large camp in New Paltz. I said, I thought these guys are here to tell you about, so-called threats of domestic terrorism and outside terrorist threats. I said, yeah, Sheriff. I go, ask him. First thing he said was, talk about that after this conference, after we're done here. I said, no, I said, well, I think the man has a right to know what's going on in this county. Then he asked me, how come you know so much? Then he found out why I know so much. I won't disclose that right now because I want to keep that individual protected, okay? Upon talking to the feds that day, they admitted, yeah, we know about it. We know about it. We checked it out. Okay. That was it. Doesn't sound like too much information being told, does it? Now, I'm not saying, I don't remember with the news around, say, oh, Sheriff Carver, that's what you get together and said that there's a concentration camp down in New Paltz, New York. No, I did not say that. I just said that there is a large encampment down there that I'd be concerned with, that should be brought to light. And I'll tell you one other thing that makes your curiosity rise a little bit. Why would a facility like that have 11,000 gallon of fuel tanks buried in the ground?
Crematorium.
Okay? Why would they have the ability to have a large cafeteria, feeding area, and also to raise enough livestock on their property to be sustainable on their own? Just questions I want to know. Sure is no YMCA camp, folks, I'll tell you that. Okay? So, what we're trying to do tonight is really to enlighten you and tell you, go out and look at these things yourselves. The facts are out there when you go look. Don't rely upon the media to tell you everything. You know how that goes. Okay? And also, don't rely upon sometimes your typical politician mouthpiece. Because they're not going to tell you the truth. Because unfortunately, a lot of them are caught up in it. They're caught up in it. Or they're afraid to go against it.
Right.
That's what bothers me the most. I stated before and said that. And I'm not a tough guy, okay? But what I do have in my heart is I have God in my heart. Okay? I have the courage of a lion. And I'm not going to stand down for the truth. Go out there and ask your elected politicians right now, tomorrow, the day after, next week, before she goes ahead, before Queen Hopeful goes ahead, passes this. And our senator and assembly will tell you later on, oops, didn't have time to read it. Too much there to read. Didn't have time to see everything going on. We just, you know, maybe trusted. Don't trust it. Don't trust. And I'll say it front to you. Don't trust elected officials. Don't trust your government. I serve the United States Army. Yes. Does that man implicitly trust them? No. You know what general order is? What general order is this? When an unlawful order is given, it is your job as a soldier to stand down. Amen. Or stand up against that order. Like the whole thing with the forced vaccines. All those service members did all that time for us. And now they want to take a bunch of them and dismiss them because they won't get a shot. God help those politicians. I don't want to be them one day and have to answer for it. Now, I don't want to spread fear. It's not what I'm here for, like I said. And I'm not here to scare our children. But what I am here for is for your children to look up front tonight and to see that they have some person, they have somebody, they have a sheriff, they have a father, they have a man that is willing to stand for them and protect their lives, and to show that all the parents in here, grandparents, aunts, uncles, any relation you are, that we will fight for our children. I had an incident happen last week with my daughter. I'm not going to say her name or anything. She's been complaining for a few weeks that her stomach bothered, her back bothered. I didn't think anything of it too seriously yet, you know, but she was toughing it through. She's playing volleyball and stuff at school. And then last Saturday night, right, my father-in-laws were having dinner, and she pretty much doubled over and said, "Dad, it really hurts." So I listened to, you know, to my wife, which I always try to do, by the way, guys. We were lucky enough to have one of our relatives there as a nurse. And at first she thought, you know, maybe a bad case of gas, maybe something else. But the way she was holding her side, let's get her down there. Got her to the hospital. Now, of course, here I am. The sheriff doesn't wear a mask. The sheriff doesn't want to get the shot.
Yes.
The whole bit, blah, blah, blah. But I got to tell you, I still don't wear a mask. I want to get the shot. But my daughter had to go to the emergency room. That's what I made clear what it was. I'm here for my daughter, not here for myself. They were good about it. Yes, they took her and took care of her. But one thing I didn't like, that she had to submit to. And she was in pain. Okay? I didn't want to set her any more than she already was. But I said, do you really have to test her? Yeah, otherwise we can't see her. Now I'm lost. What am I going to do, take her out? I can't take her out at that point. So now I have experience, and some of you out there have experienced. But I can tell you this, when I cringe, when I watch that swab come out with that little teeny silver thing in the head and all that.
Yeah.
And I pray to my Lord, don't let anything happen to her, please. I know what I have to do right now. They went ahead and swabbed her. Now, you ready for a big surprise? Hey, she tested positive. Wasn't sick all week, no fever, no sniffles, nothing. But by God, she tested positive for COVID.
Yep.
Now, before this all happened, when we were in the emergency room, everybody's walking around, kind of relaxed, talking to you, everything's great. Nurses come in, just the face mask on, that's it. As soon as that test came back positive, out comes the mask, the blue gowns, the gloves. They take my daughter down for her, I think it's a CAT scan, I'm not really good at this. Came back, long story short, she had to have her appendix out. Had her appendix out. But now we go to the recovery room. Up there, everybody's got their masks on now, the blue gowns. Because why? Because they heard she tested positive for COVID. What a lie. I'd love to see that. That's not the stick in my nose right there. Now I bet you would come back positive too, and everybody else in that damn darn room. You know, this is like I said, and I can speak on fact of that. I lost 4 people to this virus. 2 who were very good friends, and I might as well call my brother. But they had issues before that. Then I lost my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law within 3 weeks of each other. And I can tell you that one of them was not because of the virus in the end. It was because of medical malfeasance. Big time. And thank goodness that my wife and some other family members had the courage to take photographs of my mother-in-law the entire time she's in the hospital. They got a lot to answer for coming up. Okay? But back to these COVID camps. They're out there. If you go out and ask and look around, you will find that they are getting prepared to do that.
It's not just for COVID either.
No.
Okay?
Listen, there's a far bigger picture here.
Yes, there is.
And like I mentioned about Germany, Cuba,
yeah,
Russia,
yeah.
China, how much more do we have to keep going? Everybody always said, that could never happen in the United States.
What big difference? We all have our guns.
I'm gonna get to that, amen. I like that, sir. But here's the thing, you know, we had to teach our children this, because don't leave it to the schools. Don't leave it to the schools. I spoke of this before, and I'll keep it short. I was fortunate enough to have World War II veterans around me growing up, Korean War veterans, Vietnam veterans in my family, and then veterans of the Gulf, guys I worked with. We can't forget what they did for us.
That's right.
Yeah, they are.
They're trying to teach that. They don't want to. You're right. Don't let your children forget it. You educate your children. Don't depend upon the government. It's our responsibility as parents to educate our children. I feel sorry for my daughter. She hears me all the time, but no. This is no joke. We can kid around a little bit. We are trying to keep it light to a degree. It's not going to be a laughing matter if this goes through.
That's right.
And as the gentleman just stated in the room, you want to know one thing that has kept us where we are so far? It has nothing to do with the police, nothing to do with your politicians. It has everything to do with the Constitution and the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, here we go. I'm just going to put that up. Sheriff Carpenter lies on. Right-wing radical talk about the Second Amendment and the insurrection down in Washington, D.C. Good God, here we go, what they're going to say.
Yep.
All lies, okay? The Second Amendment, yes, is there to protect this country so it doesn't fall from without, but for sure it does not fall from within. There's not many people, and I don't get it over the last few years I've watched it happen, that don't want to speak about that, talk about it, because they're afraid they're going to be painted by the media and by their friends. I don't want us much longer, but hey, there's some things that I highlighted also. That's why I have that. So it says they have the right. Okay, if you get taken into one of these COVID camps or the hospital, that they're going to put up where you can, once you're in there, this after you've been detained, taken away and put there. It says there'll be a notice advising the person or groups being detained that they have a right to request release from the detention center and including instructions on how that request shall be made.
Yeah.
Blow my nose with that. Right. Make that request. Hey, folks, listen, you don't have to get the vaccine. Go ahead and put in for your medical exemption, your religious exemption. Oh, we don't recognize the medical exemption? No.
Freedom.
Or how about a religious exemption?
Freedom.
No. So they lied again to you. They lied. They need to have you to continue to bend the knee. They need to continue to have you in fear. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stick together. Stand up and stick together. Martin Luther King, I don't care what anybody feels out there, okay? And I say that. I'm not trying to be disrespectful when you say it. He's a great man. He brought everyone together. It wasn't about race. Like the media wants to play with that, right? Like the school people want to play, the professors want to play. It wasn't about race. It was about humanity. And how did he do it? With civil, peaceful disruption. No, a police officer. Who created the violence? We did. We came at them with the dogs, with the batons, with the fire hoses, the fire trucks. Us. That's tough. That's hard. Doesn't mean we're bad guys and women. What it means is they were following orders. See what happens sometimes when you follow orders? Look what history did with that. This thing called the Nuremberg Trials, right? Kind of familiar with that?
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to say there were some good Nazi officers, okay? You're never going to hear me say that. But there were those that claimed they were innocent. I was just following orders. Guilty. Hang them.
No excuse.
Okay? Rightfully so. Rightfully so. Just please have your eyes wide open.
We always have a
choice. And your ears.
We always have a choice.
You definitely have a choice. Go on, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Listen, no government rule, no police agency should be telling you where you're going to go to church, when you can go.
No.
That your kids got to wear a mask all day in school. And it's frustrating because you know why? It's a lot of you want to go to school and take them off the kids' faces, I know. There might be something happening Monday. I can't say it's not going to be here. Somewhere else in the state. And I hope he does it. It's peaceful. It's peaceful. But I want to see what law enforcement is going to do. If they're smart, I hope they stand down and stand with that father. Because there'll be more than one of them. You've seen the mothers on television and on video. What they've been doing is going to the schools and confronting the superintendents and the people. You know, that's why I can't stand with a microphone. Why are we so scared, or we don't want to offend, or we want to behave? It's not behaving, it's doing what's right for our children, for us. For us. I can tell you right now, that in my county, if I had five parents in the front door and they want to go in that school, guess what? You'd be the county sheriff walking those parents in. Oh, but sheriff, we're going to call the state police. Oh, please, go ahead, give me a shout. I want to see my friends. Okay? And by the way, back from this whole COVID thing, we opened up the pause orders. We heard of those, the pause orders they were called. That was the hotline. We'd all call in on our neighbors and businesses and everything. You know what they went to? They went to your district attorney. They went to your county sheriff, your chiefs of police, your mayors, your county managers, that kind of thing. I didn't enforce one. Not one in my county. Matter of fact, my county manager calls me up on Saturday and says, hey, have you seen what's going on at the RV park and the blah, 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 blah? Yeah. Well, you got to go up there and do something about it. Oh, no. So he took it upon himself to go up there and do something about it. And he walked in and everybody was very nice and, no, they weren't wearing masks. No, they're having a good time. And he left. And then he calls me up. There's too many people up there. You got to go. Okay. Yeah, I'll run the troops led right up there. Negative. You know what I did? I went there myself. Myself, out of uniform. Drove in, got out, walked around, shook hands, had a hamburger and a hot dog in one campsite. I told them to continue to do what they're doing, enjoy their freedom, because nobody's coming to shut it down.
Amen.
Okay? All the crowd's on the hot seat for that. But now I want to tell you how much they've all lied to you and what this is about. Because I'm going to tell you, I have nothing to lose anymore. I haven't been getting any help, but anyways. A meeting was called by the county manager, county attorney. They wanted the state police there. They wanted the district attorney and myself. Let's have a meeting. Let's go. Now, none of us spoke prior. Neither the state police commander, neither the district attorney. Myself, we all sat together. Walks in. County manager says, well, we have this order, this mandate, and he won't enforce it. What are you going to do? I sat there very quiet and looked over at the state trooper and he said, nothing. What was that? Nothing. Said, why not? Well, because we can't enforce anything. Okay. Is this true, district attorney? Come on. Is this? No, this is the truth. We can't enforce that. There's no law. Well, how come I can tell everybody? I'm not going to say it. Because you're afraid. Because you want the government tax dollars. Because you want the grants. Instead of being man or woman enough to say, hey, can you show me the law, the written law? Can you show me where the Senate and where the House got together, our assemblymen, we all did a vote on this and passed it? No, they can't. It was an emergency executive order.
But there was no emergency.
That's right. You see? And this is what I like. You see, there's a few of you in here that know that. Yeah. There's a lot of people here that thought about it but weren't sure. But that's not anybody's fault. Okay, listen, don't think I'm being speaking down to you. Okay, condescending. Thank you. I'm not one of those super high educated guys that got all right away the top of my head. Sorry about that. You have some good words. Not all. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I speak from the heart sometimes. It gets me in trouble, but I don't care. So, you need to question. You need to question authority.
Yes.
Now, growing up, I was told, be respectful of authority. I grew up with a father who was a retired United States Army captain in the 32nd Army. I grew up with a Marine Corps uncle who fought in Vietnam and survived. I grew up with three great uncles that were in World War II.
Mike, how did you make it?
Now, mostly by saying yes, sir. And an occasional butt kicking when I deserve it. So, but a lot of respect. I learned from them, if it doesn't feel right, you must question it. You must question it. And someday, if you're ever given that authority, son, as they said to me, remember that. And I remember when I got out of the service, out of the Army, I became a police officer at 21 years of age. What was I proud as a peacock? I didn't go out there and wasn't arrogant, but I was proud. Take the oath again, second time now. If I put the uniform on, represent my neighborhood, represent my the city that I lived in. I didn't remember having to say, oh, no seatbelts, speeding ticket, blah, quick pull over, take your time. Any time that I saw somebody that had a hard time opening a door, carrying groceries, a flat tire on a bicycle helped a kid, or you went to a domestic back then. You know, we didn't arrest many people for domestics back then. Maybe we should have, okay? At times, maybe we should have. But for most of the time, you went there and you talked to the people. And then you didn't leave them hanging. You stayed there, and you got the local parish or priest or minister, gave them a call. Because that's what cops did in the day. We took care of things ourselves. We didn't need big government. We didn't need these non-profit groups. Now, I'm not knocking everything, so please don't say that to another sheriff said about non-profit groups and up against that, too. No. We can take care of ourselves. We can do it.
Community.
Yes, do we need leaders? Sure. But they better stay wholesome and pure. They better stay humble. Okay? I guess I kind of go a little bit like this, haven't I? Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to speak much longer with the microphone. I do want to put it down. I want to give all of you the opportunity to ask me some questions and Gina, and I go from there. But like I said, please, the main objective for me coming here tonight is to tell you about that one location that I know of, that one. And I will, when I get permission from another person, that Listen, I put eyes on it myself, okay? I went down on myself. I went and looked around at it. It backs up to the Wallkill River. Now, on a large riverbank, okay? It goes around through this township. I said, yep, there it is. The barbed wire, Constantine wire. Oh, yeah, there's the dogs. Wow. Not German Shepherds either. Wow. Okay? So it's there.
What route?
And yeah, I'll say this right now, because now they're probably going to want my phone next. I have pictures. Okay? Well, like I said, I'm not here to fan flames. What did they say? Was it gasoline? Is that what it? Yeah, gasoline. Okay. I'm here to tell you the truth. Nah, I sure don't want to be that chief down there, but you know what? I can bet by Monday I can make some phone calls to the chief of that township. Or even call that sheriff in that county and ask him, hey, what do you know about that going on in there? Can you tell me? Now, my friend the sheriff, he's going to call me up tonight, probably the first thing tomorrow. What did you do, Carp? Well, hey, listen, I'll say this. It's our responsibility. When nobody else will stand up, when nobody else will tell you the truth, it damn well better be the sheriff's that the people trusted all the way back to the 1800s, all the way back even further than that, what we're known as Shiloh Reeves. Okay? We're elected by the people. We're there to stand for you. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Okay? All right, I'm gonna put the mic down. Is it coming to the mic down now? And I'm gonna see if anybody wants to do some questions, and we'll go from there. Thank you all for listening. Okay, thank you very much. D.C., they did not. We all know why.
Yeah.
Don't doubt your feelings on that, folks. Keep doing your homework.
That's right.
Oh, I got to take the mic. Don't doubt that. There's a damn good reason why they didn't call for the National Guard that day. They all know why. That's being uncovered faster and faster. I know it. But I'm going to talk about it. I ain't going to talk about it. Just in case, I'll explain why there's not more meeting here tonight.
Yep.
Okay? Once again, some guy called Sheriff Carpinelli was called upon by an attorney and a wife of an individual who was arrested for the January 6th so-called insurrection. Please, go back, open the books up, and teach every young person what an insurrection is. That was not an insurrection. Not whatsoever. Look the definition up.
Did they change it?
Okay? Not yet. They can't change it all. The individual I happen to know, I did know him, 72-year-old gentleman. He went down there to the rally, to a peaceful rally. Yes, he did make a mistake going to the Capitol. He admits that. And yes, he was invited in. Literally opened up by the Capitol Police, and he went in with a group of people. Peacefully, he did. And then they made up a bunch of stuff about him as well. We got arrested. I was asked by his attorney and his wife, would you give him a character letter? Absolutely, I would. Absolutely. I've given several character letters out. Now, because it was an individual, the January 6th insurrection, the judge took my letter and put it on his judicial website and posted it. CBS News takes it and says, oh, okay, no big deal. Oh, wait a minute, he's running for New York State Governor. Okay, now we got a story, guys. got insurrectionist support running for governor of the state of New York. Negative. I will support any insurrection in this country. Make sure that goes on film, please, okay? But what I do defend, and what I will fight for, is our freedom. Our freedom. So I wrote a letter of character. Not a letter asking for leniency, a character reference to a 72-year-old gentleman. Well, don't I get a text message? Not a phone call, not in a professional manner, a text message.
Yeah.
County manager, don't blame me, this is going out today, signed by the legislators. As I get into my car, as I'm leaving the Sheriff's Association of Albany, I hear gubernatorial candidate Sheriff Mike Carpinelli has been chastised by his legislators in his county for writing a letter for January 6th insurrectionists. I'm listening to what? Then I look at the text, oh, that's what we're talking about. That's nice to put the vehicle in park. I went inside. I showed my association members who represent me. You know what they said? Don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about it. Well, I'll tell you what happened. They took me to the Board of Ethics in our county.
Yeah.
My county attorney turned me into the United States something, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Okay? I said, well, good for them. You know why I don't answer to them? Answer the people in my county. I can tell you this proudly. I didn't have one citizen come and say, shame on you, Sheriff. You know what happened? I had people shake my hand, text me, go on our Facebook page, say, great job, good for you. Our donations increased. Okay? So thank you, media. But yeah, they came back. I was guilty of putting it on the letterhead. I got to write my name on the gun wrapper and send that to a federal judge, right? On a Snickers bar wrapper. You know, on a blank piece of paper. No. I put on exactly what I was entitled and actually able to do, identifying myself as the county sheriff. Well, they found that I was wrong. They felt that I didn't do that right. Yet there was no rule or law saying I couldn't do that. So they admonished me. They gave me a letter of admonishment. That's a big word for them. Basically, when the media finally got a hold of it, they found out, oh, they gave their order out. Let's see what it says. Media said they scolded the sheriff. But you know, though, what that was? That was an attempt by my county elected officials to distance themselves once again from the so-called January 6th insurrection because they're afraid of the government. They're afraid that if they back the sheriff or say, well, hey, it's none of our business, he can do that. That they won't get the dollars, they won't get the tax money, they won't get the funds, the grants. That's why they did it, because they have no backbone. None. I'll have an opportunity. But you know, I have to answer the one person in anyhow. Okay? Now I'm not going to say that I'm pure, but I've been lying through my teeth. Okay, all have our sins. I got mine. But you know what I fear the most? So you can take. No, I'm not going to say it. Anyhow, that's what's going on, so I want you to know that. That's why some of the media outlets will not come here tonight and cover this. Because they've already put me in on association with the January 6th thing. So. But it hasn't stopped us at all, folks, just so you know. And I'll tell you, if there's anybody here tonight that felt that way, that I did something, I can take the heat. And I appreciate your opinion. I'm not going to fight with you over it. I'm going to say, thank you. I'll take that on advisement, and I'll think again next time. I'm not going to shout down at you. I'm not going to come up there and throw eggs at your car, flip your car over, burn your store. You know, that's not what we do. The other side does that. Yes, sir.
Mike, what's your stance with the...
Excuse me, please. I need your questions to be on the microphone because we are live streaming, so will you please come up here so that we can hear this on... This is going out on WBBC Radio. This can be picked up across a lot of New York State. It's also going out on Newsnet. So we'd like to share that.
Mike, knowing that this is coming down the pike, what's the stance of the Sheriff's Association in the state right now as far as enforcement? Or standing in the way of.
Here we go, sorry.
All right, I'm like, on this particular so-called bill, and now the look at him. You know, I don't know. I'll tell you that, though. I really don't. You should ask, you know what it is? In every county, you should go after your sheriff that question. Okay? Here's what concerns me, okay? We've already seen what certain police chiefs and sheriffs have done over the COVID issue. Right? That should make you concerned. That's all I'm going to say. Okay? I'm not going to sit here and bad enough everybody that I know. But it's you, the people, that hold us accountable as your elected sheriffs and elected officials. Go ask them. And when you ask them, they shouldn't be afraid to say it while you're holding your cell phone, while you're holding your camera up on and talking to them. I'm in front of a national audience here tonight. I didn't know that. I just told you everything I got. Listen, I have nothing to hide. You know? I'm quite sure they'll throw some things out. Go ahead, have at it. That's the best they've had so far as that letter. Go for it. And if there is something, which I don't know yet, but if there was, I'll tell you what I'd say. Yeah, I did that. I'm sorry. Yep. No, ask for forgiveness. I'll fall on the sword. Because that's what you're supposed to do if you're representing the people. You don't cry about it. You don't whine about it. Don't make excuses. If you're wrong, you were wrong. If my board came back and had a legitimate purpose saying that I couldn't do that letter, I would say, yep, you're right. All right, I'll calm down. I won't, you know. But I wasn't wrong.
I really enjoy the fact that you're with us. What I would like to make clear tonight is this confusion that the Democrats, the leftists have, that there's different races. There is not. There's only one race, the human race. And every man, woman, and child in this room is a shade of brown.
That's right.
Thank you.
Since the 2020 election, we're all a little concerned about our vote. What can we do to make sure our vote counts?
Good question.
Yeah. I've been asked that all across the campaign trail. I stated before. The best thing I can tell you right now is either try to volunteer as a pollster, as they say. Try to go over and do that. And if not, do what I did in the last election and my last county election, too. I took a picture of my own ballot. You get your cell phones and you go to vote. You can take a picture of your own ballot. That's legal. And don't let them tell you that it's not. It is. It's your vote. Not the person there at the booth. It's not the person sitting there putting the thing in the machine. It's your vote. Your right, guaranteed in the Constitution. Your vote. Take a picture.
Take the mechanical voting machines out of storage.
That'd be nice. You know what else they should do? If we have such integrity, as they say, in our election process, how come when you buy something at, I don't use a big store, Walmart, they give you a receipt saying you paid for it? They waste so much paper on giving you a receipt. Why don't they give you one for when you vote? Here's your receipt. It's yours. You purchased the vote, you paid for it. I don't mean, you know, I didn't say that you paid for, you know, any real stuff, okay? Meaning that it's your vote. You own it, okay? It's your vote.
It belongs to you. Don't use the marker either.
If I could do a reminder, we need to have comments on the microphone so that this can be sent out across. Otherwise, they may not be able to hear on the live stream. So we do have another question. Sheriff Fike?
It's actually more of a statement. You want to get involved in the fraud that took place in the 2020 election, go to www.auditnewyork.com. There's a group of volunteers in across the whole state of New York that have come together and are looking into the fraud. So that's all I'll say. If you want to help, what's that? It's auditnewyork.com. And there's a bunch of different groups you can get involved in. You have a couple hours a week. Even if you go on the website, There's a petition you can sign to decertify the 2020 election based on the illegal ballot boxes that were placed around the state. Just that alone will help. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff Carpinelli, for everything you've done. We appreciate it. So I guess some of this is a bit more of a comment, but when I saw that the New York State Legislature had abdicated their responsibility and to make law and voted in a dictatorship with Governor Cuomo, I was sickened. And that is not how that's supposed to work. No emergency allows for the legislature to abdicate their responsibility to make law. It's the executive that executes the law, the legislative makes the law, the judicial judges the law. That's how that's supposed to work. And it was reprehensible what they did. It was not constitutional. None of the stuff he passed was constitutional, and it is ridiculous that the New York State Legislature voted to abdicate their responsibility. They voted a dictatorship in here under Governor Cuomo. That is wrong, and I know you wouldn't support that, and I support you, sir. Thank you for what you did.
Thank you again, Sheriff, also. I wonder if you could speak to what the responsibility is of the local sheriff. I was very encouraged to hear the layers and the state troopers with you. What's the responsibility of our local sheriff to defend people against these other higher agencies and federal agencies?
Against the incursions of anything else, correct? Any other agencies?
Yes.
Well, it is the sheriff's responsibility. I know the media times, and I'm not saying all of it, but some of the details are telling you that there are some of these right-wing sheriffs that is under the a certain another sheriff out there that has a constitutional, I'll say it, Sheriff Mack, Richard Mack, okay, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association. They're trying to label us and him as a right-wing, fanatics that we got power. But we don't have power. We have authority from you, the people. We have authority from the Constitution, okay? And we are the highest ranking law enforcement official in our county. We're elected by the people. I don't answer to a mayor. I don't answer to a county executive, to a county manager. I don't answer to the legislators. Oh yeah, they hold the wallet. They can zip that right tight. But they don't control the sheriff, okay? I answer to the people in my community. That's who we answer to. So when the time comes, and they walk out and the mayor or the county manager, city manager says to the sheriff, I want you to arrest all these people gathered here tonight. They're not wearing masks. They weren't tested. They didn't do this and that. The sheriff can say to him, listen, mayor, I'll protect you all the way home. Okay? That's what you can say. Okay? Yeah, it is our duty to stand in front of you and protect you. Yep.
I have two comments and a question. The two comments I would say are, would Jesus wear a mask? Would Jesus get immunized for what we're going through? And the other thing that I would say is, what are our legal recourses to what's been going on as far as the rights? Do we just get a lawyer, or can you just...
Yeah, I'll let Jesus begin that too, but you mean as far as the vaccine, so-called mandate?
Yeah, things and things like that, yeah.
And that, so-called you were forced to wear a mask?
Yeah.
Who forced you?
Well, I mean, if you're forced out of a place...
Right.
Do you have a legal recourse to...
You do. A lot of us have it. Then they try to use that. They try to use the excuse of trespassing. If you're trespassing there. So in other words, you must enter into your church, you must enter into Walmart, because we're going to just stand there and block everybody, right? That's what you all, that's the same. You go to the school board meeting, you stand there and block into the school board meeting. That's a trespass. Okay? Nobody did that. You can't have the voices heard. Because you put a mask on, they try to take you out of there. I can tell you the very small handful of people that were very small, that were arrested for so-called, you know, the law of trespass. And once they got in front of the judges, even the judges went, nope. But you didn't see the media report on that. Most of the time they didn't report on it. They would show you the parent being dragged out, but they didn't see the parent walking out of the courtroom, vindicated. No, because that wouldn't help control everybody, would it? That's what happened. Gina, I'll let you comment on some more of that, okay?
The first thing I would say is this all ends when we just say no. So we're under tyranny, and the first thing we have to do, and it's not easy, is to stop complying. And it's not going to end until we stop complying. Because when we are under tyranny, we realize that we're seeing now that our courts are very compromised, so we're not getting the relief that we need to see in the courts. They're shredding the Constitution. They're not following the rule of law anymore. So individually, there's a few things that we can do to get remedy. And we can, first, not comply. Second, if our constitutional rights are being violated, then that's under the color of law, deprivation of our rights, that nobody can violate them. So there is a group that's doing a lot of notices and affidavits. And if you're personally violated, you can serve them with a notice and affidavit, and you put them on notice how they violated your natural rights. You give an opportunity to cure that. If that doesn't happen, then you hold them accountable. So we do have, it's part of the call to action for these camps and everything else that's coming down the pike. I do have a website now. It's called GinaForLiberty.com. That's GinaForLiberty.com. There is a take action button on there that you can click on, and it'll tell you how to call to action. For example, for the camps, like I said, they're trying to quietly slip this through a backdoor DOH regulation. They're circumventing the legislature to do this, and the comment period for that ends is Monday, February 14th, so we need our voices to be heard. And on my website, they have the number to call, which is 518-473-7488, that you can find it there. I also listed on there from the affidavit mamas, I believe that they have prepared a notice to all New York elected officials. I encourage everybody to sign that. That's on jotform.com. Again, I have the link on the website. And that is a cease and desist letter. So it's a notice and holding them accountable again how they're violating all this and how this is completely illegal, unconstitutional. Our founding forefathers did an excellent job at crafting our Constitution when they did the separation of powers. We have our checks and balances, the three branches of government. We have our executive branch, legislature, and our judicial. And our executive branch, Hochul, our unelected governor, she's overstepping her authority. She's stepping into the legislature. She cannot make law. And neither can the DOH under her. They cannot make law. So we have to pull her back. And we're just going to have to stop complying and stand on our God-given and renewable rights. Yes.
How is somebody
held accountable for all these unconstitutional laws? Any questions on here? Oh, darn. Or here, speak. Someone's asked to be something on the page.
Okay.
How come nobody's held accountable for all the unconstitutional laws?
Because we're under tyranny. So it's going to come back to the people taking it back. Our courts are compromised. They believe this has been a well-designed plan in the making for many years to overthrow our democracy. They have their plans in the court, so we need to pray for a fair judge, and we have to keep fighting that way. But until then, it comes down to we the people. We have the power. We have to realize that we have the power that was preserved for us, secured in our Constitution. And another thing, there is not an emergency, but even if there was an emergency, it does not suspend our constitutional rights.
Noticed it that we
on the job site. Yes, I put
it on
the
website. Job. There's. I want to let you guys know on the job form we have over. I haven't done the count for today, but there's over 425 people who have signed that notice that she's talking about, and it goes directly to the governor, the attorney general, the Speaker of the House. It's going to go to the Department of Health.
The sheriff
on there?
The okay. Sheriff Apple?
Yeah.
And?
Yes.
Secretary of State Robert.
Yep. Secretary of State. The notice, and we also gave the notice out tonight too, Gina.
Okay. I can't give legal advice because I'm not establishing a lawyer-client relationship with anybody, but I will say that I put it on my website. I did sign it. That's one way that we can individually try to take our power back. So if we can get that all in before February 14th, Monday, we may have a chance. Because they did, I think it was yesterday in Albany, they had a meeting with the DOH for these proposed. In fact, I have the 28-page proposed documents here. This is a real thing. The news will not report this, but it is real. And if anybody wants to look it up, it's on my website as well. But it's under the 10 New York CRR investigation of communicable disease isolation and quarantine. And if you turn to page 4, I mean, the whole language in here is very alarming of what they can do. Number 4, page 4Q says, confinement shall mean enforcement of an isolation or quarantine order through the use of possible law enforcement personnel. So, again, it's important that we call upon our sheriffs and make sure that we hold them accountable. They take the oath to the Constitution. They're above everybody. They have to uphold the law of the land, which is the supreme law of the land, our Constitution. If they're not doing their job, we have to hold them accountable to protect us.
We have a notice and an affidavit also for that.
Yes.
That you can serve your sheriff.
And that's why I call Sheriff Carpinelli a constitutional sheriff, because he is standing for the Constitution. He is upholding his duty. So thank you. And very courageously doing it. And extraordinary time to do that. So
Sheriff Mike, I just want to ask, what's the coordinates of the suspicious location in Poughkeepsie?
Oh, the coordinates. Well, I guess if you go to the Google Maps, just pull up New Falls, New York, and then look for the Wallkill River, and it'll be right there. You know, it's quite large, but it'll stand right out once you see it. So.
We're going to erase them now.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to say that this is a very real thing. If you can look what's happening in Australia, they are already have the quarantine camps for the people. And I don't care if it's a hotel facility that they're quarantining the people and they're actually using trailers, they're using fences with barbed wire. A quarantine can be anything. Nobody has the right to remove you from your family, from your house, take your kids, and put you anywhere. So, yep, you're welcome.
Yes, thanks for coming out, Sheriff. I appreciate you coming out here and informing the people, informing us of more than most of us probably knew. I'd like to just put my two cents in. I remember reading some articles about China getting some autonomy, that getting very cozy with certain politicians in the United States, and they're getting areas where they can have autonomy. I think the mayor of Los Angeles gave them autonomy over the port for a while. Mm-hmm. And my opinion is that they're trying to get autonomy over these areas to further narcotics trafficking. They're moving a lot of fentanyl. I'm a retired police officer, so I criminal defense attorney. I let her move it go, and I read a lot. I've always read a lot, and you know, I've lost about 9 out of 10 clients in the last 2 years to heroin overdoses, or you know, either because there was fentanyl in it, or because they were in jail and they tried to go back and take the amount of heroin they took before they went into jail, and these people become casualties. And it just seems like a number, but if you play with numbers, you know, like over 10 years in Vietnam, I think we had 54 or 55,000 military killed. Last year, 100,000 people died of opiate overdoses. 100,000 people. And I was a policeman in Harlem, and it used to be like 20,000 nationwide, 20,000, 25,000, and very gradually, it kind of worked its way up to about 30,000. And about 5 years ago, it just went into this exponential climb. And I think, in my opinion, that would be, if I was the governor of New York, or if somebody appointed me the attorney general of New York, I would start investigating to see if there's narcotics trafficking or being enhanced. Now, that's the same reason why the border, the southern border, is not being sealed. So that's kind of, it all ties in. If you put the pieces together, if you read, if you do the homework, and you listen to that inner voice inside of you, it makes sense after a while. And you just have to keep thinking of it that way, because it's a conspiracy against all of us. And a lot of people, I'm sure there's people in this room that have lost family members, you know, to narcotics, and it's a real tragedy, you know, and I hope this man, you know, continues in his run for governor, and I'll just tie in one last thing for you all to think about, because you should all be doing your own research. It's good to listen to other people, but you got to get out there and try to get information. When Cuomo got in trouble, CNBC did a story, and they said he's getting all of his closest supporters to raise money for his re-election campaign and his legal defense, and they threw the name out there, Lawrence Rockefeller. So what you want to do is you want to familiarize yourself with the Rockefeller family and their ties to the pharmaceutical industry. They're the ones that started everything. And actually, they created a vaccine for flu in about 1917, and they decided to give it to all the people in the army to see how it worked. And then all those people got the Spanish flu, and 50 million people died. So they tell you that it was just out of some magical out of the air thing, a Spanish flu came and killed all these people, but it was their machinations. They wanted to take the petroleum industry and they wanted to use it to take over medicine, and now all of your medicine is petroleum based, so they make money. So that's my research of reading and studying and looking into things and investigating things over the last 20 or 25 years. It's a murderous conspiracy against you. So when somebody like this man comes along and wants to expose that, if nothing else, if you can throw money in an envelope, great. If you can get in there and pull the lever and vote for them, because we don't have anybody else. None of these people care about us. They just going to do whatever's good for them and make a call.
I just want to say that to the retired officer, thank you, brother, for your service too. Thank you.
Okay, so next
thank you, Sheriff, for being here. And I got your name.
That's okay.
Yeah, thank you. And for all of you here, this is America.
Amen.
And my question is, I'm not quite sure how to ask it, so we'll do it.
The best you can.
Me and my wife, we own guns legally, and it's always in the back of gun owner's mind about, you know, hopefully we never have to have one, but if we have to have a militia, and I haven't really thought about it as hard as I have in the last 2 weeks because of what's happening now, okay? When he threatened, you know, my family, puts things in a whole different light. And if we get to that point, do you know anybody as sheriffs or anybody like that, you know, who might want to lead something like that? I'm going to put you on the spot.
You put me on the spot. I'll say, amen, yes, I do know. And I can rally them up and recall if I wanted to.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's going to get me on news for that one, huh?
You have a room full of witnesses, don't you?
Mike, I really appreciate your passion, and I can tell you, Jenny, by letting people come in up and ask me raw questions that haven't been rehearsed. I would love to see an outsider like you get in there and try to topple over this machine. Yeah. So, it would looking at David and Goliath battle, and I'm sure you know it. What plan do you have to really get into these establishment people and stop them from doing this to us any longer?
Well, I just stated the other night when I was on the statewide GOP, well, the candidates, if anybody got to see that, I don't know, but it was done on Zoom, and we had it across the state. When I was asked for that, you know what I told them? Of course, there's unions involved. But those who aren't unions, I'm going to bring as many U-Haul trucks as I can get with cardboard boxes. You can pack your stuff, I don't care who you work for, there's Whole Foods or Cuomo, and have a nice day.
Yeah.
The American people in New York State people are starting over again.
For standing out for us. There's not enough of you. But I would like to know, when do we start holding judges accountable? When do we start holding Supreme Court justices accountable? Under U.S. Code 18241, you're talking about depravity of color of law, and also the attorneys that are failing us, because there's a difference between natural law and corporate law, and that is where we're getting snagged.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of studying. Even before I heard about her website, I've been researching the affidavit process thoroughly. I've been drafting my own affidavits. I lost my job because of this COVID. Mm-hmm. I worked in healthcare serving people. I served my country in the military. I'm a server, and I want to serve my country and my community, and I'm tired of this. And where do we get to that point where we start taking action that is described in the Declaration to overturn a tyrannical government? Because
yes.
That is not only our right, but our duty.
Yes.
And it's not making us hard to think, because it's true.
You are exactly right. And thank you for your service as well, our country. And I'll say this, I gotta ask you. Would you lose your job because you wouldn't get the vaccine?
Yeah.
Okay. Was there a written law that was given to you to show you that it was a law to tell you that you lose your job? Did they give you a termination letter?
Yeah, I got one.
And what did the termination letter stay on? Was it because of policy?
Ma'am, can you
go? What did the letter say?
I also know that you can hold them accountable under their corporate charters too.
That's correct.
Just because of their policy and I wasn't following their policy, that I could no longer be there.
Yeah, well, they're going to have a whole lot of lawsuits when you finally get the most honorable judge that has the courage to stand up and accept them. And then I'll tell you what, there's a big wave coming back at them. I'm quite sure that the attorney can speak on that too.
Quick question, did you submit a religious exemption? Did you submit a religious exemption? Okay, then you need to go on the EEOC. Did you file a complaint with the EEOC? Okay, go on there and do that.
I've been telling her about that. I've been talking about the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the EEOC,
absolutely.
All that stuff. Because like I said, I've been researching this thoroughly. And what my question is though, what's the point in these exemptions? Because that's basically us asking for permission. We don't have to ask for permission.
That's right. So under the Constitution, you're correct. Under the Constitution, we don't have to ask. It's we have the rights of bodily autonomy, and we choose.
These nonprofit organizations, even hospitals, are nonprofit organizations. They have corporate charters, which is given to the legislative body. And they can be revoked and repealed and liquefied at any time when they violate civil rights and human rights.
That's right. That's right. So that's, yep, go ahead, question. But I did want to just get back to the camps for one quick second. I was invited to go to San Antonio for a conference for 3 days in November. From the invitation came from attorney Tom Rentz. So I'm sure a lot of you in this movement are familiar with him. And he told us, in fact, all the speakers there, they were phenomenal. But for any conspiracy theorists, these aren't theories, they actually are conspiracies. They told us to take out our phones and to look up and ask our friends and family that doubted us, why is legislation, Congress working on legislation called HR Bill 666, and then HR 6666, and that is Nazi style camp. So they're working on this on the federal level, and obviously we know what's happening here in New York. They're trying to slip this through on Monday. So go ahead, sorry.
I'm really good at public speaking.
later. I want to know why the people that have natural immunity that have already had COVID, gotten over it, are being ignored. I'm told that I have to be tested weekly or lose my job because I drive school bus. I've lost another job because I refused to get tested after I had COVID multiple times until I came up negative. I've been escorted out of Big Lots in Utica by two police officers, not one, but two. I'm not looking harmful. I was in there without a mask, and they said they wanted to file criminal trespass charges against me because I was shopping. I did not refuse to leave. I was not asked to leave. I was screamed at. A lady came across the store, attacked me, wanted me in a mask, said she was calling the police. I said, go ahead, it's not a law, I don't care. So she did. And the lady said, it's not a law, we can't do anything. So then the male police officer comes up, two cards, I have pictures out of them. This is our tax dollars being wasted over our masks. First of all, does anybody know that 2,500 years ago, Islam realized masks took away your identity, made you submissive, this we're masking all the kids up. Why? Yes. Take their identity, you make them submissive. Kids learn through full facial recognition, they learn to talk, they learn expression, they learn so much, they're losing. I have kids on my bus fighting because some kids want to wear a mask and some aren't, and I refuse to enforce it. So, yes, I'm on camera, so I'm probably going to do that. To be illegal at the adult. Now it's also illegal. Kids are being tested in school. Yes, they are. Ripped off my bus right to the nurse. Do you think they call the parents first and ask them if it's okay?
No.
Any foreign object in your body, needle, Q-tip, excuse the expression, rape, okay, penis, is a human rights violation. We are being forced to be violent. A Q-tip up your nose is a human rights violation. A mask on your face makes you submissive. It steals your identity. It is why the women wear the garb. Do we want our daughters wearing a mask? Do you want your kids human trafficked? They put a thermometer to their forehead. Why? Because then they desensitize them to a gun being held to their forehead. You've got so much corruption in the state, they can't even fight it all. They even had an article, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, that said New York State has so much corruption on the lower levels that they don't have enough manpower just to fight the corruption in this state alone. And when's it going to stop? I walk into stores without a mask, people give me the dirtiest looks, and I don't care. I'm answering you. I answer them. Thank you. So, better immunity than anybody that's gotten this safe and effective vaccine that obviously isn't effective and obviously isn't safe, and your masks don't filter viruses. If you had something over your mouth that filters virus, oh, and over your mouth, restricts your airflow, another human rights violation. Why? Is this all legal? Because some woman got a power trip going on?
It's criminal infection of breathing.
Yes, it is. They say trust the science. It contradicts everything I learned in medical school. Thank you. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I don't claim that. Your basic human lung function. Look it up. Look up what the garb means and how long ago Islam decided to do that and what it did to the women. Look up all this stuff. Look up how small this virus is. How small a microscopic, how it's being measured, and what a mask filters. My son wore a mask all day. He works in a warehouse. We don't want to say his name. We won't say where he works. Just to prove a point, he goes home every night, blows black shit out of his nose. Excuse my language. He wore the mask. Same stuff comes out. Now, if it can't filter dirt particles, which you can see with your human eyes, how does it filter a microscopic organism? Again, it doesn't. You know, this is to make you submissive. This is to keep the fear going. If you're afraid, you're going to get in trouble. Oh, my God. Who are you going to get in trouble for? Your dad's not there to answer to. If these people pay your bills, they're holding your paycheck. Oh, you can't eat. You can't pay your bills. My friends have been denied medical life-saving treatment because they need to be vaccinated. My girlfriend has MS. 4 months they denied her her infusions till she gave in and got vaccinated. You know what? She got COVID. Oh, my God. Now her husband gets COVID. Where's he bounced? In the ER. You know what they said? We're going to intubate you. He said, no, you're not. Because intubate somebody pops their lungs. 3 million people die in the this country every year of medical error. 3 million people didn't die of COVID, but they died of medical error. You know what this medical industry of ours has done? It has created the opioid crisis in this country. This is who we trust. We got to be vaccinated by the same people that got everybody hooked on drugs? Okay. But marijuana, alcohol, and fast food, the three things they've been telling us are horrible. They're all now essential. Does any of this make sense? Follow the science? Where the hell's the science in this? There's no science. This is a joke.
Science fiction.
Bill sits on the steps and he says, I gotta go to Capitol Hill.
Yes.
Okay, that's how laws are made. Governor Hochul does not make the law.
Yes,
it's gotta go through a judicial process. This is a bunch of bullshit. Everything came out of the history books. Why did we get rid of books? Why is everything digital? I'm gonna tell you why it's digital.
Why did they cancel Schoolhouse Rock?
There you go. Your emails, they can alter your videos, they can alter your photos, they can alter every single thing that's digital. I looked up on Wikipedia, which anyone can alter, ivermectin, because when this first started, a doctor told me about ivermectin. Guess what? They rewrote it. It's no longer anything for anything viral. Everyone says it's horse medicine. No, that's horse shit. It's not horse medicine.
You are very right.
Horses take penicillin. Do we not take penicillin?
You're very right. And now I love your passion behind it. It's okay. It's all right.
Thank you. I just want to touch on a couple points that you were bringing up. So what's happening in hospitals is very sinister and dark. The hospitals are getting paid close to $100,000 or higher for each COVID person that they put on a ventilator, and they treat them with remdesivir, and they're getting the money through the COVID Cures Act. So sadly, that is what's happening there. These are crimes against humanity. And speaking to the masks, it is a sign of dehumanizing the person, and it is a sign of enslavement. And I also want to point out the masks, the tests, and the vaccines, they are all under the emergency use authorization only, which means that they can never be mandated. They must always be voluntary, a choice after full informed consent. And the EUA law, and we're not talking about this either, actually is there in place where somebody's dying on their deathbed and they've tried everything and they want to try something that has not been proven to be safe or effective. But they're willing to try that after they realize and have been fully informed by their doctor that this could happen, these could be the potential side effects, it's an experiment, we don't know what's happening. And then they choose, okay, we know it's not FDA approved, we're gonna die anyways, we'll try this. It's not meant EUA for healthy people. So a mask, a test, and a vaccine, they're medical devices, medical interventions under the EUA, they can never be mandated. This violates the AUA law along with our constitution and everything else. So. Okay.
Okay, I agree with all of what they've said. I have a little different thing. I have sent the proper papers to the school system where I am, and I have not gotten any information. I'd like to get some information as who I have to write to. I do not use a computer. I worked on it for years, and I don't want any parts of it. I never wanted a part of our election because the computers could be, and I said this as soon as they came out.
Yes.
I've been saying this was coming for 40 years. I did not stand up, or my generation did. And now I am. And I was right to school. I was in front of the school board there, and I stood up and said, I am 76 years old. My children graduated from here, very successful. I do not when anything taught to these children, it should, no child should be through. But I have no definite information from them. And I've been asking, and then I sent the proper papers.
Did you make a FOIA request?
Yes, I did.
Okay, what did they tell you? Because I noticed that they're adjourning it.
for a lot of people that I know are doing them. They're pushing, they're moving the goalposts, and they're supposed to do it within 20 days, I believe, that they may just keep it during
the day.
It could be 5 days too, I'm not 100% on that, but I do know we're trying ourselves to get that, and then we're just gonna have to sue them, because that's, yeah, sue them, and we can go through judicial watch. They have a whole legal department, they do a lot of the FOIA requests.
Yeah, because I've been asking for it since last October, and then I found out about the other.
Well, go on to my website and reach out to me. I have an email on there. You can contact me, and I'll try to help you.
Why to get that can't information. We get rid of these people without having to vote them out? There's all kinds of illegal action going on. What do we need to do?
There you go, sir.
I know, I feel your frustration, that's what you're saying, but you know something? Here, everybody listen to this, because this is why I get this all, you know, I hear you, loud and clear. And if you want to, there's a whole bunch of stuff separate up for you and help you out. But then we're no better than Venezuela.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what I'm trying to say. There's a process in place. We don't like it, because what it's doing to us right now, because it's been hijacked. I can say this word, it's been bastardized, okay?
Yeah.
We've been hijinks. We let it happen, okay? But hold on. Gentleman asked before, is there a militia? Yes, there is. No, it is. It's all of you under the Second Amendment, okay?
Amen.
I'll say this again. I want to make sure, especially the media here, and that's why I got to clarify that too. The people behind these cameras, these reporters that are here, it's not them that we're angry at.
No.
They're here doing their job.
Yeah.
Okay, they get sent here by their corporate people to do what they have to do. So I always say this, please, never direct our anger at them. They don't deserve that. Okay? They don't deserve it. But remember this. Yeah, we can go that route. Sure we could. But why? We don't need to do that yet. Don't need to do it yet.
Yet.
Okay? That's like they said yet. Yeah. Alright? I agree, the person, I'll say it, the retired school teacher, man, give me disrespectful. What she said about the computers, when our lectures went to that. Yeah, we were there, man, and not enough of us were like, well, it's the internet, it's the newest thing, hey, it sounds great, let's do it. And what happened?
Yep.
We found out. Now, I want to go back real fast to the police officer, the retired officer talked about the drugs. Right now, we're holding the Olympics in China.
Yeah.
Was that a big mistake?
Yep.
You want to talk about?
Yep.
As you said, the opioids. How about talking about the opium dens under Chairman Mao? Right. Who knows about those? Can you raise your hand if you do? The opium den under Chairman Mao. Okay. What happened was, folks, I'll place the same thing on your city right now. We're giving you what they call safe injection sites. Go down and get doped up. You have a nurse right there to help you out. Oh, it sounds nice. It sounds compassionate. What's compassion about that? Continue to put the person on addiction? Continue to enable them? We tell you how Chairman Mao handled that. So he got the opium start because his people were so worked and enslaved in his country. We said, sure, opium's a good thing for a little while. Let them go to the opium dens, hang out. They'll be back to work. Well, guess what happened? They didn't come back to work. He sent the Chinese Communist Army with machine guns, open the den doors, go inside, just like your safe injection sites, and killed everyone inside. Killed everyone inside. It's in your history books, folks. Look it up. It's there. And then you know what happened? They all went back to work. Nobody wanted to get high anymore. No, we can't go that route of these other countries that have done that. Other dictatorships. I always say, please, in our hearts, keep our faith. We have to keep trying. We'll know. Not going to be us that are going to rally up. Somebody upstairs is going to tell us when it's time. Okay? I know it's tough. It takes a lot. But I got to tell you that. Because I know something? As a soldier, thank God that I never killed anybody or saw combat. My friends that did, and people I know that have taken a life, you don't want to. I don't care how righteous you think it is. You don't want to. But if you must, then you make it swift and you do the right thing. We're not there yet. We're not there yet, guys. Let's hold on.
Hold the line. Chair, I have a good question. Hold the line.
You can repeat it on the microphone because I have to stay with my camera, but
She asked, and there was dozens of protests today out throughout the area of the state on the masking in schools, and she wanted to know my opinion on that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for asking that. Look, it should be a choice. If anybody wants to wear a mask, there's people in the room right now that are wearing masks. Are we berating them? No. That's their choice. And we respect that because it's our fellow human beings, our neighbor. But if you don't want to wear it, don't wear it. That's how I feel about that. I think it's wrong. I think they're hurting our children. They know they are. You want to know why? You want to know why the kids are still wearing it? Because unfortunately they're kids. Because they can see the rest of the adults here had enough. And you know what? When the kids start swinging in school, we got problems. That's why we have to be out here, set the right example right now. We need to stand up for them. Like I saw a lot of the women doing. Now it's time for us to step up.
One more question. Where did your information come from about the isolation camps?
It comes from me directly, and I'll gladly show you some photographs later on if you'd like. It came from a police officer who was there. It came from the FBI who admitted it. They wouldn't say isolation camps, but it's definitely a camp. That's who it came from, ma'am. A police chief came from the, I believe the state police were there as well. Yeah, they know about it. Will they tell you about it? I bet not. If you look sometime, I'll say this right now since I'm on pretty good. Well, you know what? I'll take you down there myself and show you. Not afraid to drive you there. Okay? Ultimate goal for masking? My goal is to restore freedom to the people. My goal is as a leader and spokesperson, get the spokesperson to the people, to give them the freedom. Let them make that choice. I don't, as a sheriff, go down and tell every parent to wake your kid up and go to school every morning. I don't go there and tell them what goals are where to go to school every morning. That's the parent's choice. If we let this keep on going, we know where it's headed. And the news outlets know where it's headed. A lot of them are there already. We know what the Chinese propaganda machine is. It's a full swing. That's where it's headed.
CCP.
So it's choice, man. That's what it'd be choice. I respect our Constitution.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'll be pretty quick with this, and I apologize if I didn't cover with this question, but what are we supposed to do should this pass? Because it is happening on Monday. What do I do?
Walk and vote. I'll tell you what to do.
What do I do if the police deem me a public health risk and it show up in my vote? Do I have the right to exercise my Second Amendment or do I go with it?
You have that right. Yes, you do. Okay. I'll say that. Yes, you do. Who is it in the United States that has a right to haul you out of your house?
Nobody.
Without a legitimate, as they say, legitimate warrant.
Exactly.
Warrant. Okay? Not an order. Not a health order. A legitimate judicial given by a judge. Warrant. Yeah, stay there.
Yeah, okay.
Good luck. Close the door. Go call everybody. And while you're calling everybody, I'm going to call everybody. Yeah. Okay?
I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sheriff, you and I have talked about this before, but under 29 CFR, 1910.134, which is A through D, OSHA, masks are not considered proper PPE. Okay? Number one, you're supposed to administratively or engineer out the hazard before putting any PPE on, be it gloves, masks, whatever. Also, respiratory protection usually has to be standardized. It's evaluated by NIOSH and ANSI. So there's no standard for any of these things. It doesn't matter if you're wearing a pair of used underwear on your face or whatever. There isn't anything that's going to tell you that you you know how to use this. Also, your employer is supposed to train you. They have a liability or have somebody to show you how to use any PPE. Also, under Title 15, Article 27, NYCR, Part 365, which contains the collection, handling, and transport and disposal of regulated medical waste, in concert with Public Law 1389AA through GG, and 10 NYCER, Part 70, disposal masks, which can be carried in assortment of bodily fluids, must be handled as such. Those that are reusable must be disinfected at such coverings for future use as indicated by the regulation. It is considered under DEC and DOH regulations, regulated medical waste, and must. So all these schools, do they have any manifesting? Any of these disposal masks?
They got the red bags.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. You're 100% correct on all that. I know that I'm not, but the people in my department that are volunteer firefighters, you have to have a mask fit test, right? There you go. Okay? But they don't tell them, the public, that do that, which you just talked about. They don't want to know that. Shouldn't want to be held accountable for that. No, you're right. There's no test. There wasn't. You're right. So they're wrong. And disposing of it? Well, is she going to send her own people to the school? Is she going to send her own people to the school to arrest those guys? No, she's not. No, he's not. I'm not knocking the state, guys. We have one thing straight, okay? I'm not knocking the state police or any of the things that are in that. They have a tough job to do. A tough job to do. Especially today. But I will say this to their so-called person in charge. Shame that H on you for doing what you're doing to those men and women that wear that uniform. Yep, shame that H on you. It makes me sick. It breaks my heart. There's so many men, good men and women out there that are doing this job. Now, are there the few, the leaders that go along the orders? Be sure it's just like any organization. When the time comes, we'll hold them accountable.
I have a different topic. I understand, as a sheriff, you work for us. So if we want to remove Governor Hochul from office, and the sheriffs, constitutional sheriffs, can go down and work, because there was talk, where it's been mentioned that, you know, McCombe was office, that would be possible. Is this something the sheriffs are willing to do with this tyrannical czar, this vaccine czar in New York State? This woman is so proud that everyone needs to become, because Jesus told her to get vaccinated, which is totally satanic and demonic.
Yep.
And there is a satanic temple in Albany that's active. I just want to point that out.
Yes.
Along with a lot of the other states and issues, like Harvard has a satanic group, and California has a lot of them. I don't mean to get on the demonic thing.
The sheriff of the state of New York going to do that? That's your asking?
Yes, if the sheriffs can go represent the people, if we the people say we want Governor Hochul out of the office for her tyranny, are the sheriffs going to stand up and do that and go remove her?
No, the sheriffs aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
If I can't speak for the sheriff in that county, I can't speak for him as far as that goes, but I will tell you that he did bring the charges along with that woman that the alleged crime did occur.
Yeah.
He had the courage to do it. But who undermined it?
The
DA.
And then the
Attorney General. That's right. Correct. Correct. So yes, that's what happened there. He did his job.
So the sheriff in Albany County would have to remove her?
Yes, ma'am.
The rest of the sheriffs can't get together and collect the state and walk around?
No, we could back him. Okay. We sure could back him 100%.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I say something
about the rest? Hi, Felicia. I'm in the T-shirt.
Over there. Over there.
We've only got
time for one more question, so
let's go to... All right. First of all, the question about the how to get these people out, first of all, we have to get our grand jury back.
Yep.
Most people don't know it, but the Bar Association stole the grand jury years ago, and we have to get it back. Which we have actually started. We didn't notice a few months back to start the process. Once we get the grand jury back, Sheriff Carpinelli or any sheriff can go into the grand jury without the DA.
Do you have a complaint?
If we have a complaint, if we have evidence, we take the evidence to the grand jury. Then the grand jury will do an indictment and a warrant for the rest of the official. That's how it's going to be. It's not going to be an immediate process, It's going to take a while because we still got to get the grand jury back. They almost got it back in Georgia. Once Georgia gets back, the rest of them will fall. I just want to verify some of my judgment. We were up in Lewis County when the board wanted to keep the mask on people coming into the schools. Mike came in, and I got a video on this on our YouTube channel. Mike came in and he said, I'm not coming in and taking anybody out of the school, and I'm not going to arrest anybody. So when he says he's doing that, he's telling the truth.
Yep.
Indicated she has something to say, and then I believe we're going to wrap this up.
Yes.
Okay, somebody asked something about the schools and what they're doing. You need to look through, first of all, you need to look at the CARES Act. Okay, so there's money coming from the federal government under the ESSER fund for New York State. Guess what's attached to that? Which is illegal. There's a whole bunch of things. There's SEL, there's CRT, sexualization, comprehensive sex ed. This is all packaged by the federal government, brought down to the state, and they have to do the things that they're doing to the kids. It's not just masks, guys. And you have to do your research, but guess what? It's all there, because I know other states, Indiana, Arizona, they've got the money, they know. They got the money trail, and they got what it's used for. As soon as you get that, you start writing notices and affidavits to the schools. You need to get up and get together. You cannot sit back and wait for people to do it for you.
It's not going to happen that way!
And regarding the school boards, I want to encourage everybody to go on to bondsforthewin.com, and that's a tool that a lot of parents can look into and get educated on, and that's a way that you may be able to save your kids from being masked and worse this time down the pike. So.
Okay.
The original one, the one that they don't want you to see, because in there's a clause that says that they cannot step on your common law or statutory rights.
Okay, public health law, the original act, 1970, write it down. Take it, research it. In that, there's a clause, there's a part that says that they cannot step on your common law rights. Do you know what the common law is?
Yeah.
That's your rights. That's your God-given rights. Or statutory rights. They are not allowed to write law that goes against them. So just look that up, and that can be used in notices and whatever when you present them to the school.
Hey folks, I'm not letting any more of the microphone, but remember what she just said. Go check that out, right? So what's everybody going to do? You're going to run your phone, go to Google, all that. Don't do that. You have public libraries.
Yes.
Go use your public library. It's your library. The books are there. Now when the so-called fact checkers want to go on Facebook, that's not true. We checked it.
I know how to get rid of
that. So go to your libraries, go to your family. Show your children. How important our libraries still are in this country. When they start burning the books, where's my friend? We'll go to the humanity, okay?
Well, thank you everybody for standing up for our freedom tonight and for giving us such a great turnout. Thank you.